This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast. Episode 10 of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast, Part 2, where I'm joined by the Welsh wizard that is Matt Lawrenson. In Part 1, we discussed Matt's journey into cricket and stepping beyond the valleys, testing himself for the 2018 season. In Part 2, we'll be discussing cricket, politics, obviously quite a lot of season ahead. Obviously, we've got an Ashes summer, a World Cup, England currently out in the West Indies, and obviously loads of politics floating around the game. So, Matt, predictions. I can't really see the score from here. You're probably sat at home watching the cricket. Predictions for tonight's game against the West Indies?
Funny thing is, tonight's game's actually been abandoned.
Oh, there you go. I've been stuck in the car for an hour and a half. There you go. That's all live. Okay, so is that the end of the ODIs now?
No, there's another two.
So predictions then. So it's 1-1. What's your prediction? 1-1.
I'm not sure really. I think like we've seen in the first one with Roy and Bairstow, if they get off to a flyer, with Roy getting 100 odd and Bairstow getting off to a flyer as well, that's the engine room of that team. Because I don't think Root's in the biggest form of his life. He's not. I know he's come off the back of a couple of good scores, but I think as England fans and everyone else as cricket fans would want Joe Root in the form of his life. I think someone like Ben Stokes has been good, been vital to England over there. I know they haven't done fantastically well, but he's been a real catalyst of what they've done. With one day's national squad, I think a lot of hope in that, because a lot of young lads coming through, like the Super Cup and all of them are still very young, but when you're going on the back of the test series and you see the squad, you think it is ageing. I know Anderson and Broad can do anything with a ball, but they're going to retire at the same time. I've always said this, and it's going to be hard, and they're still finding it hard to replace someone like Alistair Cook.
Well, it's the same as anything. You take time, teams go through transitions, and somebody will come along. The thing is, how do you replace the leading test run scorer of all time within your country? You know, yeah. It's difficult. The same as if Virat Kohli was to disappear off the face of the earth tomorrow for India, you're asking the same question. You're quite right. You know, that's why cricket is such a great level. I think for me, the frustrating thing about the West Indies tour is, especially from a test match point of view, how could they get it so wrong in terms of the bowling selection? You go to the West Indies where you need raw pace, and we've turned up with as if we were about to turn up and play in Sri Lanka, and it was frustrating from that point of view.
From the first test, it was very frustrating thinking that they'll pick out the other seed on a quick, hard pitch. And you've seen from the pitches, they did a lot with a bit of bounce. They were up by your nose, and then the next one was down by your ankles, and you've seen a lot of dismissals from that way as well. And when we're talking about Joe Root, he got a lot of dismissals that off a length and clipped his glove, and he had no chance. But like you said, and you've seen with the last test and the last two tests, Mark Wood, I know not a lot of people are acting because of injuries and how many runs he's gone for, and I'm probably one to say that I haven't backed him really as well. But when you need someone with raw pace, I think you can get that right. And he's only still quite young, but at the end of the day, I think if you need someone with raw pace, I think it's got to be done.
I think moving forward, I mean, obviously it's a shame Ollie Stone was injured, but you look at Wood and Stone, that is a new ball partnership. Obviously Anderson's disappeared from the test match arena, it's going to be pretty frightening. And if Mark Wood can stay fit, which is the important thing, you know, the guy's played a lot of cricket, but he's also missed a lot. There aren't many bowlers that can, not only does he bowl it so quick, he bowls a heavy nut as well. It seems to be such a nice lad in kind of gets it on. It reminds me a lot of Simon Jones, like that. He's got that X factor, that extra yard, and he's actually deceptively quick as well. So things just come in peaks and troughs. I just think from a selection point of view, we just need to be aware that, you know, talking about Adil Rashid, and Rashid's already said he prefers when he can roll through his variations, and I think from a leg spin point of view, unless you've got variation, because you've been in the bat a lot of people are willing to sit in against leg spin and different things, it's sort of,
yeah,
you know, especially training and obviously the bowling machines, all that sort of stuff, I think everybody's got, but where in one day cricket, that's where he really comes into his own, where his variations, where people can't sit and pick, they've got to premeditate and do different things, and I think from a test match point of view, you know, the worries are, we just need to find a form and get some people getting some runs,
again,
why Rui doesn't play, I don't know.
Yeah, but like you said, with the bowling, I think there's a lot of bowlers out there, like you mentioned, Ollie Stone, and with people like, I know maybe he might not be a test match bowler, but you can see he's done it at the county championship, someone like Joffre Archer, things like that, who can do a lot with a cricket ball. But I know, and when you say about Jason Roy, I think someone like him has got to have the chance. I can't see how long they're going to wait, because they give Alex Hale the chance, I know, and it didn't suit him. But Roy Byrne's still unsure of, because he's got to do it with a swinging ball, I think. And over here, we'll have a test in the Ashes, especially with the likes of Russell Starr, Pat Cummins, etc. And I think Keaton Jennings has gone into his shell as well. And like we talked about in part one of this, going into your shell and confidence is a huge thing. And I think on the international stage, I think that's possibly the most important thing.
Well, yeah, I think where England's going, I'm a massive fan of Burns, and I think I don't think having two left-handers at the top of the order is a great start. I've never been, even back in the days of Strelth and Treskov, I just think it's too easy to line up if you go in. And also as well, our top two are never going to hurt you. Teams will sit in, and they know if they keep a decent line, England aren't going to, you know, by lunchtime,
no, no.
Whereas if you've got Roy and Burns, what, they're both completely different players, left hand, right hand, they know each other from Surrey, and their record together is absolutely sensational. I just think sometimes, you know, batting in partnerships, people talk about batting about rhythm and partnerships, then why not have two boys that have essentially grown up together and have got that relationship? I know Surrey won't thank for ripping that top two apart and obviously taken away from the county scene, but it's the same thing, you know, there's a lot of cliches in cricket, but I just think, you know, if the boys have got the talent with the white ball, there's nothing to say they can't have it with the red ball. I just think a lot of people have got different dynamics and things, and you know, you've only got to look at the transformation is from Joss Butler, you know, people are always going to compare.
Yeah, exactly, there's no difference.
And the transition, you know, it's exactly the same format, and you know, him and Stokes in the final test knuckled in and got us home, and, you know, and that's the way it needs to be, and that will end up with people transferring it over.
Yeah.
Because
I think without someone like Stokes, and especially someone like Butler in that team, I don't think England would be nowhere near where they would be now, because Stokes can bowl up to about 90 miles an hour, and like you said, heavy ball, unbelievable, can take wickets like that. And I mean, with Butler, he can take a game away from any team with a new ball. And obviously he's going to be better against an old ball, but with a new ball he can take the shine off it straight away. And like we said about the opening batsman, they did try it with the likes of Joe Root and a few years ago, and it didn't work, but which is fair enough, because he's a right-hander, a completely different player to what Cook was. But when you go through right and left hand, it's been quite a few years since he's been like that, really solid, because it was Strauss and Cook as well, and I know that Strauss has struck them to got a lot of runs, and it's different talking about the opening partnership now, but I think now it's that's the biggest thing for England cricket now. I think if they can get that right, I think they're 75% the way there.
I think the England team will sort themselves out. I think we've definitely got the most exciting crop of young cricketers coming through. It's just making sure that we harness it well and keep looking forward to it, really, especially since we're sort of, you know, now they're catching up with the IPL and releasing the players, things like that. I think it just helps, and you can see there's a little bit more happiness around the squad, whereas you just look back 5 years ago and everybody seems a bit resentment to the fact that
definitely
the clubs and the ECB wouldn't release four for the IPL. So in terms of, while we're on sort of obviously the politics, so obviously we've got the World Cup coming up at the moment, because obviously there's a nice hybrid between everything going on. In terms of the World Cup, obviously, what are your memories from the last week? Have you got any memories from the last time the World Cup was in the UK, Dwayne Leverock, that sort of stuff? Have you got any memories of that?
Well, not really of that, but I know from World Cups I've watched on the TV, it's just a huge, a massive event in not just cricket, but just in sport. And we remember from the T20 final that night against West Indies, Carlos Brathwaite, I know everyone will remember that, but what is just such a massive event. And I know when it was in Australia, it was such a great event to be a part of as supporting a country who actually in it. And with it being over here in England and Wales, I just think it's huge for the country just to out there that cricket is a massive sport.
Well, you've got again, you're an absolute badger, so I've noticed you've got quite a few games. Who are you looking forward to seeing, players-wise, team-wise? Is there any World Cup games you're looking to get to?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to watch New Zealand, so anyone in that New Zealand top order, I just would love to watch, like Tom Latham, Martin Guptill, Kane Williamson, Ross Taylor. And it's just watching someone like Kane Williamson or Martin Guptill bat is just brilliant. I could watch it all day. And then obviously with the likes of India, you don't really need to say who's the best person to watch in that team. But you know, with Kohli, I just mean it's unbelievable how much of a good player he is, and I think he's going to be one of the best ever, if not the best ever. I know it's a big statement, but he's shown that he's done it in all formats, all corners of the world, and he's just unbelievable. Yeah.
Seems to have matured a lot better as a man as well, obviously, because one thing you can historically look back at some of the Indian team, and you know, you go back to sort of Jelly Bean Gate of the days of sort of you know, Flintoff and Harmison and stuff, they kind of deemed to have a bit of a soft underbelly. That just doesn't seem to be the case, and that seems to be driven by Kohli as well. You know, you go to Australia and beat the Aussies in the back garden, you know, fair
not many teams do that.
No, I mean, don't go wrong, we know the Aussies aren't the animal they were. You know, we've got, all the legends have gone from the 2005, 2009, 2011 season.
Yeah.
I know Smith's back for the Ashes, but I'm not sure that'd be a good thing, because that's just going to be a catalyst for a lot of jibing, a lot of spotlight, and probably take the tarnish off anything, you know, and they're proving not to be the side that they were. Probably come back and bite me in the bum, that, but you know, it's definitely going to be something that I'm looking forward to for the Ashes summer. But I think, again, this is where Sky Sports are so good, because their coverage of the game is so amazing that, like, you get to see all the different things, and you know, every game's televised, and the coverage they put about is really good, and I'm really looking forward to a really solid season of cricket. Obviously, the World Cup, Ashes, there's a lot to look forward to.
When you mention with the Ashes as well, I just think, I know you said Australia aren't the animal they are, but it's just, they're a dangerous team. I mean, with Pat Cummins coming through, he's going to be one of the best, and they can keep. I think with the bowlers, I think they're there or thereabouts with the slope with Nathan Lyon as well. But I mean, the top order, I think Warner will be vulnerable. I think with the, I know he's been on the international stage for years now, coming straight back into it against the likes of Anderson and Broad over here, not going to be easy at all. And like you said, with Smith, obviously Tim Payne going to be having, he's had the captaincy. I know he's not done very well, but with a new captain, he's got a gel, and you know that with Norton as well, with having new captains, it takes time. And at the end of the day, I think if Smith comes straight back into that team, there's going to be a lot of change. I think either team's run, it might be for a good thing for him, but I can't see him getting past England this, to be honest.
Well, Smith's not allowed to captain, is he not?
Well, I wasn't sure if he was or not, but I think if he isn't captain or not, I think he's still going to be looked at as a leader, isn't he?
Well, in that team. He's one of the big four in world cricket in my eyes. You've got him, Root, Coley and Williamson. And I can't see past any of those in world cricket. Those four,
not at all.
Those stats are ridiculous in all forms of the game. Not just, obviously, Red Bull, but at the same time, what's been done is done, and it's just how it is. But it'll be good to watch. It'll be good for banter levels. It'll be all sorts of
hostile
things. Definitely. Okay, well, that's the end of part two. Thank you very much for listening to part two. If you've enjoyed listening to what you've heard, please like, share, comment. If you want to rip into Matt, you can comment on it as well. That's fine. I'm sure we'll get a reply out of him. So tune in tomorrow when we come back for part three, where we'll be discussing the 2019 season. Obviously, we're 2 days away from the transfer deadline. Lots of exciting things at local cricket to look forward to. So tune in tomorrow for part three. Thank you very much for listening.
This is the Norton & Hales Cricket Club Podcast. So that is